Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. The COVID-19 pandemic, with its far-reaching effects, was the driving factor behind a gold consumer demand weakness throughout 2020, and that led to a 14% decline in annual demand. That's according to the latest Gold Demand Trends report by the World Gold Council. Gold jewelry demand also dropped to a new annual low for the dataset. On the flip side, global gold ETFs reached an annual record. But to what extent did this help to balance things out for the precious metal? Well, today we're joined by Andrew Naylor, head of ASEAN and public policy at the World Gold Council, and he'll share more. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Andrew, taking a look at the report that's just been released, it looks at the fourth quarter and also the full year for 2020. Gold demand hit an 11-year low for the year in 2020.
Well, 2020 was a difficult year for many. The gold market, it was down by about 14% year on year. That's fairly low in gold market terms. There were a number of reasons for that. The primary reason, though, was the pandemic and the lockdowns associated with that, coupled with high prices. So basically, it was consumer demand that has pulled demand down to 14% lows this year, or lower 14% this year. That was primarily driven by lower consumer demand, in particular the jewelry sector, which accounts for a significant proportion of gold demand.
So as you mentioned, jewelry demand in 2020, I think the report stated that it dropped to its lowest annual level on record, but there are signs that things could be picking up there.
That's right. I mean, when you look at physical demand for gold, jewelry accounts for around about half of gold demand on an average annual basis. So that's quite a significant chunk of demand. A lot of jewelry demand is also concentrated in certain markets. So China and India collectively account for about half of all consumer demand, and a lot of that demand is jewelry led. So jewelry is a significant component of the physical gold market. There are a couple of things that happened. So yes, jewelry was down this year. It's 34% lower in 2020. But there are a couple of things to look at. So first of all, the reason for that is obviously the pandemic, but there are two things going on. With the pandemic, you had physical lockdowns. You had shops were closed, consumers were confined at home. It was just physically quite difficult to buy jewelry. But the second issue and dynamic that was going on is when you look at price, actually, although demand has gone down, the gold price is up 25% this year. We've had record high gold prices. And when you have a high gold price, consumers tend to react a little bit differently. So first of all, they're more likely to realize those gains. So in a lot of markets there's significant consumer demand, price is high, consumers take advantage of that and are more likely to sell, and obviously they're less likely to buy because of the higher gold price. And also in some markets where there's particular economic difficulties, you will also find consumers selling to realize liquidity. To, you know, one of the purposes of buying gold is to protect wealth, but it's also to be a source of finance and emergency liquidity when you need it. So when the price is high, as it has been, as it was last year, you tend to see consumers more likely to sell. But there are some signs of recovery in the larger jewelry markets in particular. So for example, in China, if you look at the Q4 figures, although demand is still down, it's not as low quarter on quarter as it was in Q3, for example. And also going back to the price comment, if you look at the demand for jewelry in value terms, in Q4 it was up 11%, looking at it in value terms. So the figures that I was quoting earlier, that's in tonnage terms, in physical in physical terms, but if you look in value terms, gold jewellery demand was actually up in Q4 by about 11%.
Right, so gold jewellery demand could be back on an upward trend. What about demand for other physical forms of gold, such as coins and bars?
Well, this is where the bar and coin market's a very interesting market. Again, it's consumer-led. If you look at bar and coins, that part of the market performed better overall over the course of the year. It was up globally 10%. A lot of that was led in Western markets, in some of the European markets where bar and coin, the bar and coin markets are quite large, and also in North America. You did see quite strong bar and coin performance, and also in Asia as well. That has started to pick up throughout the year as well. So as I said, retail investment in the bar and coin market globally, that rose by 10% over the course of the year to around about 270 tons. So it's quite a, it is quite a significant market. Again, if you look at some of the reasons why a consumer would buy a bar and coin, similar to gold jewelry, if gold jewelry is considered as an investment rather than as something for decoration and adornment. But the reasons for buying or investing in a gold bar and coin, it's things like wealth preservation.
Right.
It's things like having access to emergency liquidity. So when you have increased uncertainty, you do sometimes see that preference for bars and coins. The other thing to bear in mind as well is bars and coins are a fairly standardized products. So they lend themselves better to online distribution, for example. You're more likely, if you purchase something online, you're more likely to purchase a bar and coin where it's a fairly standardized product. You can buy gold jewelry, of course, online, and there are many outlets for doing that, in particular in China. But globally, you're more likely to see consumers buy bars and coins online rather than jewelry. So because of the logistical impact of COVID and the pandemic and the lockdowns, one of the reasons for the stronger performance in bars and coins was accessibility. You're more likely to see consumers purchase online.
And as you mentioned, it really does bridge that divide as well when it comes to investment potential for gold as a physical asset as well. And let's talk a little bit more about the extent of growing investment demand of gold in 2020. We saw ETFs, for example, reach an annual record. Do you expect this to continue?
Yes, I mean, we need to look at again at the reasons for investment demand and what drives that. And investors, particularly institutional investors, they react and behave very differently to consumers to things like economic uncertainty. So when you have economic uncertainty, consumers shy off a little bit from gold. But on the converse, the investment community and institutions in particular, gold is a more attractive asset as investors are looking for safe havens, for example. So we refer to this as the dual nature of gold. You have consumption demand and you have investment demand, and each sort of constituent reacts very differently to economic uncertainty. So looking ahead, I would expect investment demand to continue to be fairly strong, and there are a number of reasons for that. We still don't know what the extent, the shape, the timing of the eventual recovery will be. So there's still a lot of economic uncertainty on the horizon. There's been some positive developments, of course, with the new vaccines, and we're starting to see those rolled out globally. But there's still a lot of uncertainty about the eventual nature of the recovery. We're in a low interest rate environment. That's going to persist for the future. And the other thing to look at as well is budget deficits.
Right.
We've seen record expenditure in many countries around the world who are looking to deal with the economic consequences of COVID. In this kind of environment where you have low interest rates, you have uncertainty, you have increasing budget deficits, gold is going to play a role in the investment allocation strategies of investors as they look for a safe haven asset which is liquid. The other dynamic as well to think about is the potential for market corrections. We have quite high equity valuations mm-hmm. already, and commentators, you know, keeping a close eye on that. But again, all of these factors mean that we do have these persistent economic uncertainties ahead. In that kind of environment, that supports investment demand. So investment demand last year, as I said, dual nature. Investment demand did offset the weaknesses in mm-hmm. consumer demand. Investment demand grew about 40% to, as you said, a record annual high. And again, that was driven by uncertainty, the interest rate environment, and also a bit of momentum as well in the investment community. So when the price was increasing to record levels, you do get some tactical momentum, which further supports investment demand. So that's why on the investment side, gold performed well in 2020, and the factors that underpinned that, they're still here with us in 2021, and so I'd expect that component of demand to remain robust throughout the course of this year.
And so we've spoken about demand for physical gold, investment demand for gold ETFs, but talk to us more about supply, because I know we've spoken quite a bit about that over the past year in light of everything that's been happening with COVID-19 and certain restrictions when it comes to mines. But how did we end the year for gold supply?
Supply was down slightly. It was down by about 4% mm-hmm. In 2020. The main reason for that was COVID and the physical restrictions,
right.
that the various lockdowns and logistical restrictions placed on the industry. So that was the primary driver of the drop in supply. But when you think about supply, you also need to look at recycling as well. So the recycling market is significant, particularly at the consumer level. So when you see consumers selling, in particular, gold jewelry to realize the price gains, obviously that supports recycling. So that jewelry will end up often back at the refiner to be recycled, re-refined potentially into bars and coins for either future investment demand or as feedstock for the jewelry or technology industries that use gold as an input. So recycling was up slightly, and that was because of the consumer reaction primarily to the higher gold price. So recycling was up by about 1%, but overall, when you look at supply overall, including mine supply, that was down by 4%. And the main reason for that was the logistical impact of the pandemic and the various government lockdowns that we saw worldwide.
I'm curious, Andrew, do you think we'll start to see recycled gold continue to make up a larger portion of gold supply going forward?
It's likely to, as consumers, as consumers, as I said, take advantage of the higher gold price and perhaps sell gold jewelry. That's when recycling goes up. But you also see recycling is a big sort of facilitator of flows of gold to the industrial sector. So gold is not just a financial asset; it's a commodity as well. It has this dual nature in terms of its use, and as an industrial asset, it's used in albeit small quantities, but it's used in high end technology, for example, in electronics because of its physical properties. In things like safety critical systems, so in the medical arena, in avionics and so on, where safety is paramount and the need for a material that is conductive but doesn't corrode very easily, that's where you see gold used. It's also used in some environmentally friendly technologies as well. There's a lot of research going into gold's use in fuel cells and carbon capture and storage systems. And so on. So that there is technological use for gold, and a lot of the sort of input into that sector, mm-hmm. into the industrial use of gold, that will come via via recycling. Not always, but it often will come via recycling. So recycling is a very important component of the market, and really it's a demonstration of gold's liquidity. You have some physical gold, you can get it tested, assayed, and then you can sell it. So you can often go to recycling, it'll be recycled into bars for feedstock, it would feed into industry, or it might go into in a minted bar form for future consumer or institutional investment. But it's the recycling side of supply that means that gold is, in a physical sense, a very, very liquid asset. It's also a very liquid asset in the financial sense as well, when you look at how it's traded, particularly on exchanges and in the OTC markets around the world. It's a very, very liquid asset financially, but it's a liquid asset physically as well because of the recycling industry.
And so lastly, Andrew, what are you going to be looking out for in the year ahead?
There are two things that I'd be looking out for. One is the environment that determines institutional investment into gold. So as I mentioned, I'd be looking at interest rates, inflationary pressures. I'd be looking at budget deficits and the potential for market corrections. In this kind of environment, I'd expect that gold investments will remain pretty well supported this year. But the other side of the coin is consumption and how consumers use and buy gold. That I would be looking at the recovery. And if you look at gold consumption, the big consuming markets, they're in Asia, India, it's China, it's here in Southeast Asia as well. These markets have weathered COVID comparatively well, and we're also seeing some positive signs of recovery in China, for example, in Korea quite recently as well. There's some positive figures coming out of Korea and obviously here in Singapore. So whilst there's still a long way to go in terms of the recovery, the signs are, in particular in this region, that the recovery will continue throughout this year. When in times of sort of less economic stress, if you like, that supports consumer demand for gold. So I would expect that to start to buffer now. These are the two things I would be looking out for, really. If you're thinking about where gold demand is going, you need to look at consumer demand and also investment demand. As I said, they both areas of demand react very differently to economic uncertainty, the general economic outlook, for example. So these are the main factors that I would be looking out for in the year ahead.
Wonderful. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us again today.
No, thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Andrew Naylor, Head of ASEAN and Public Policy, World Gold Council, right here in the Spotlight on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to the full interview, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.